And welcome everybody here on YouTube, where we are hopefully streaming onto actual YouTube. Rob, is that true?
Slowly, but
waiting for it to sync up and start up, and waiting for the internet to catch up with reality here.
Okay.
Things are a little choppy on the internet, I think.
Well, we know that. It's not us this time. It's not us.
Yeah. But, no, we're hearing from some listeners over social media that, the connection on the radio stream was a bit choppy.
Yeah, that's a BAI issue, but the archive will be fine, and that should be up fairly soon. Oh, we woke Alex up. I'm sorry, Alex. He was sleeping so peacefully.
I know.
For the last 15 minutes, Alex was just dozing on screen. I'm sorry. I don't mean to rat you out here, but it was funny.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's late here.
It's very late. And you've been up since, like, what, 5:30 in the morning your time?
5:30 in the morning my time. It's been a long day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's almost 5:30 in the morning again your time.
That's true. That's right. That's why I'm tired.
And don't you have a plane to catch in a half hour?
I have a plane to catch. I have to leave in about 6 hours.
Okay. All right. Well.
No.
It's not going to be. It's not going to be the best flight. I got to tell you that. It's.
what makes you predict this?
You're going to be cranky. You're going to not have enough sleep.
Yeah.
There's going to be a crying baby behind you. I did check that, and that is true. And then you'll be winding up in a crowded New York airport later.
Yeah, and I'll be going back to a new country for me.
That's true. Brand new era. Oh, boy, you're going to love it. All right, so again, sorry for the stream, folks. We had no control over that. If you listen to the radio, though, in New York City, that's why radio is better. Because that doesn't happen, unless there's a problem with our stream going from our remote studio. That happens sometimes.
It could be better.
Yeah.
But I'm watching it. It's enough, but it's about 60% of what we normally have at best.
Well,
so
it doesn't matter because we're not a video stream.
No, not at all.
We're on YouTube, but we're only audio.
Yeah.
If you're watching us on YouTube and you wonder why we don't move, it's okay. That's how we want it. Yeah.
But this is a call-in portion, and you can reach us at 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-4225.
4225 spells hack, by the way, and 321 is what you say before you lift off.
Before you hack, yeah.
Right, and 802 is Vermont. That doesn't mean anything, but, you know, that's all together, that's our phone number.
Operators are chilling coolly.
We have no operators. We're just us. But, yeah, okay. Here we have another letter. Hi. Thanks for the shows. Definitely appreciate the call-in shows again, meaning the shows that we do once a month on BAI, where we take calls like we did last week. I was wondering, is there anything you can do about the audio leveling? The phone conversations are really hard to understand without maxing the volume. And then when someone in studio or Skype... All right.
That was Copilot.
Who is the wise ass that did that? Was that us on this end?
Shh.
No, I want to know. I got to finish this letter. Hold on a second. I got to finish the letter. Really hard to understand without maxing the volume. And then when someone in studio or Skype starts talking, you're deafened. Have a hopefully decent-ish New York... Oh, not New York, New Year's. Sorry. They typed NY. What was I supposed to think? Have a hopefully decent-ish. I was trying to get over decent-ish. That's a weird word to look at. New Year's. And I hope you survive all the Trump crap. Thank you, Jan. I'm not sure how to pronounce J-A-N. But thank you. We are trying with the audio.
I turned up the ratio on our expander, which is what we're putting the telephone line through. And I will kindly suggest to E that he crank the telephone up a little past unity.
When we have a phone call.
When we have a call.
Yeah.
See if that helps. Maybe it's been higher. We've been messing with our headphone volume, blah, blah, blah. But in the event we get a call, we'll turn it a little higher than it has been, and hopefully the ratio on the expander will make up for it.
Can I say our post-production engineer, Jens, spends a great deal of time and, you know, a lot of his sanity fixing the audio issues and basically boosting things that need boosting and silencing things that need silencing and coming up with a product that we're all proud of in the end. Yes, Gila.
Do you want to, first of all, say hi to the 54 people who are with us right now on the chat. However, tonight's lag is extreme. Normally you have about a 15-second lag. Tonight it's about 3 minutes with a lot of buffering. So,
wait, when you say it's a 3 minute, what does that mean exactly?
It means that we started talking at 8 o'clock and it didn't start going out over YouTube until 8:03. So whereas we're pretty close to in real time on a normal evening, tonight we are significantly laggier.
Kyle, do you think this might be a problem with our setup here?
Do you want to give me a minute to, like, relaunch or just...
Should we relaunch? Does that mean we go silent for...
We have to land first.
Okay, what does this mean for listeners? What might we have to do?
All right, I'll turn it off for a minute, and we'll come back in a minute.
Does that mean we're...
Just leave YouTube alone.
Okay, but will listeners hear nothing for a period of time?
Yeah, and it may drop on your side, so why don't you look at that?
Okay, so we'll be back in, what, 1 minute?
Yeah, let me, like, restart this. There was an update I ignored, so I don't know. I don't know what it is. It could also just be genuinely bandwidth. I mean, there could be, like, some Xbox, PlayStation tournament we don't know about going on, like, in the vicinity. So anyway, we'll see.
Okay, be patient with us. 1 minute, two max. Please, yeah. If you get booted, come back, and we'll start taking phone calls.
Yeah, and let the switches switch.
Yeah. Okay, we're back. Kyle, it's still not great, but we did everything we could do on this end.
Yeah. I don't know what else for now. I think we should just continue on, maybe try this call. It does seem to be a little bit better as far as overall bandwidth.
We can't reboot the whole internet.
Yeah, I don't have that much control, contrary to what people might think about us. We are at the mercy of our own resources. And
okay. So we are back live on YouTube. We are only a couple of seconds behind live right now. But we will have to give out the phone number again because we interrupted the bit where we were giving out the phone number. That's how far behind we were earlier.
So. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. I wonder if because on our end here, we finished speaking. So and we have a local recorder here that obviously would have picked that up. So maybe we need to replace the Facebook archive with our archive because Facebook archive is going to sound like crap. So if you're listening to this later, not Facebook, what am I saying? YouTube. Yeah, YouTube archive. If you're listening to this on YouTube, there's a better version on 2600.com. Yeah, so listen to that instead. Okay, 802-321-4225 is our phone number, 802-321-4225. But we already have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. There's nobody there, Kyle.
Okay, the phone line is open.
Sorry, go ahead. Now they're ringing. Okay.
802-321-4225.
His number not to call right now because someone's on the phone and you'll go to voicemail. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, who's calling? Who's on the phone there? Who's there?
Oh, yes, I'm back from California and Seattle.
Who is this? I'm so confused.
Do you recognize? Okay, I'm calling from my computer, so.
Wait, did I call you?
No, I'm calling you from Google Voice.
Your Google Voice? You're the voice of Google. Oh, my God. Finally.
Nice to meet you, Mr.
I sent you the link of when I went to Seattle.
He was in your town, Kyle. What do you think about that?
More power to him.
Wow. Okay, well, this is Rebel, I assume, so give us and Rob, you're signaling that you wish to speak. And you're not speaking because you're muted.
It seems like it's more.
We are still buffering on YouTube about every 5 seconds. It's still a very choppy experience over there.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. This is a YouTube problem. I don't understand why everything is messed up. We're trying here. We really are. We rebooted everything. And anyway, Rebel, you go ahead because you know if you're choppy, people won't really notice.
Can you hear me better?
Oh, we hear you fine.
Okay, you hear me better.
You sound like you always sound.
Yeah. Okay. So I went to Seattle and I went to finally got to play with a TSPS console, but it didn't work, of course. It's not connected. And I sent you a video to 2600.com.
When did you do that?
I did it a couple of times. I think I sent you a link there, and I sent a link on the chat. Hold on, I'll send another link on the chat here. Here's a link to my video and when I went to Seattle. Are you choppy again?
People tell me we're choppy. Gila, you're saying something. We don't hear you.
Thing is that Rebel cannot send a link to the chat. It's one of our chat settings.
Yeah, you can't send a link to us. That's why we never got it.
Wait a minute. You can send a link. You can't, I mean, no, you can send a link. Maybe you can't click on the link, but copy
Rebel,
it and paste it. Yeah?
If you send us an email between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock, we're not going to see it while we're on air. I saw that you sent us an email, but none of us had a chance to look at it because we were on the radio.
Oh, right, because I thought you said please send emails because we're not taking phone calls.
No. So I apologize. You cannot post a link in the chat. It won't let you do that. Sorry about that. But yes, do carry on. Tell us about the TSPS.
Okay. Yeah. So if you go, well, you'll get the link in the description. You go to. I have a video of me playing with the TSPS console. Now, of course, it wasn't connected. It's a, and I've had pictures. I think I sent you guys pictures too. It's a business console from the like Seattle or Portland from back in 1984 or two or just before the best of future. And actually, you know what? It wasn't. It was from like. After the divestiture, before they got OSPS, which is an operator service position system, which is a computer terminal based thing, which has, you know, instead of a big, you know, like switchboard type thing, it has like a computer terminal. So, I got to, you know, push the buttons and the lady there who was not a TSPS operator, but she was a guide at the museum, told me about, you know, what they did and kind of how they worked, and I saw the multi-leaf folder, you know, that little like kind of Rolodex kind of a thing that has all these cards with different area, what the, where the area codes are and what the rates are and all that other stuff. That,
guys, I'm going to have to break in here for a second. Sorry to interrupt you, Rebel, you're still on the phone. How are we doing YouTube-wise? Because we're thinking of doing a bigger reboot of other things as well that that might actually fix it. If it,
yeah,
is,
we were
if
hearing,
it is on our end.
We were hearing things are not great.
Okay, so
out through YouTube.
If people can hold on for another couple of minutes, we're going to go silent. We'll do a massive reboot, but that's literally the last thing we can do. Otherwise, maybe everything is broken and there's nothing, no way to fix it. I don't know.
I'm tempted to like change the frame rates and stuff, but we're already doing like 24 frames, like 23 frames is very cinematic for a still image. And I mean, I could like knock the video down and like try to make the audio really low res to try to get reliability at a lower bandwidth. But
except we pay for high bandwidth, so we should have high bandwidth. So if we reboot it and there's an issue
like
with the machine.
If there's a Roblox tournament we don't know about and it's affecting our connection, what are we going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Let's give it a try. What's your ETA, Kyle, as far as how long we'll be down for? 2 minutes?
I don't know.
2 minutes, maybe?
I'm not the co-pilot here, so I'm at the mercy of the OS if something crazy is in
all
need
right.
of
Please
happening.
Be patient. We'll be back as soon as we possibly can. We're going to keep Rebel on hold, so we're not going to lose Rebel. Don't worry about that. We'll be back in a moment. All right, we are back, and I think it's better. The numbers look a little bit better. Let's see how long it takes our friends out in Skype land to hear us.
I hear you, but not on you. Oh, okay, we've just popped up on YouTube.
Okay, that's much better. Much better.
We're sounding good so far.
We lost all our listeners.
Keep an eye on this.
We lost just about everybody.
No, we've got a good band of people shouting at us in the chat.
Okay, I see zero as the number of viewers. I don't know why I see that here.
I see 11 now.
Okay. Well, we had 54 before, so that's that we lost.
The bandwidth and the frame rate are normal now, more or less. So hopefully everybody's happy, and we can continue talking to Rebel.
And continue, Rebel, go ahead.
Yes, so
you saw the flipbook thing.
You saw the clip?
The flipbook thing.
Oh, yeah, the flipbook thing. Well, they call it multi-leaf folder, multi-leaf bulletin, whatever it is. If you see a picture or video, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's on the left of where the operators sit, where the keys are. It's on the left of that, and you have to look up area codes and look up, like, country codes and rates and things like that. And in the 1980s...
Like quick reference? Like a quick reference guide or something?
Yeah. But in the 1980s, after the breakup of the Bell system, that went to computer, so it was a computer terminal. I wish I could put something in the video, in the chat, with a link to, like, a video or pictures or something. I can't put pictures in this chat, right? So...
No, this is a text-only chat. No links, no pictures.
All right, well... Okay, maybe I should just have my own podcast.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Couldn't you just... put spaces in between things in the link, wouldn't it go through, or does it filter that, Rob?
It does not let things like that through. I don't think
you can't break up a link. I'm not encouraging it. I'm just pointing out. Maybe on your personal blog or website.
I think you're missing the lead here. A Rebel just threatened to divest from us and start his own podcast.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Tell us about this podcast.
Don't give him a forum for that. It's going to destroy our listenership. How dare you? You know, we'll see you in court. How about that?
Let's see, what else? I don't know. Let's see. So I went all the way back up to Seattle to see the thing in Tacoma, Washington. What else? I saw a telex chair in the Seattle Museum. I saw a telex terminal, teletype, I think it was called,
okay.
Teletype 5410 model, and it was used by AT&T. It's a computer terminal, but I was confused with a telex, because it says telex, it was teletype, but it was acting like a computer terminal. They had it on a 300-board acoustic modem,
mm-hmm.
hooked up to a Linux server, I guess.
Yeah, there's incredible demonstrations there. And for people listening, the name of this museum is the Connections Museum.
Right.
It is located in Georgetown, Washington, in the SoDo area, the south downtown area of Seattle. And they have a once weekly day that they're open to the public, and a lot of really passionate and knowledgeable volunteers that can answer your questions and point you in the right direction if you want to check out some of the exhibits. And all the exhibits are functional, more or less. And tangible, or you know, it's very hands-on. You can get a feel for what things were like, and they're set up in a way that it can demonstrate what the purpose was, or what the device or what the system did. Sometimes emulating it with modern devices and rigging it up so that it appears as though it would have, were it connected and set up. In its original, with its original intent, but of course, a lot of them are set up so that it can work without that, emulating the sorts of things it would have been connected to. But it's a fascinating place. And what else did you see there? What other highlights do you have for us?
Well, I mean, it's only open on Sundays, but I did see switchings and things like that. I did see a picture phone. Remember the picture phone? Well, you don't remember, but.
I actually do. I was at the World's Fair in 1963 as a toddler, and I do remember picture phones.
Before my time, but
yeah, it was a wonderful time. That's nasty. I'm sorry, but I didn't know any better. It was in Queens at the old World's Fair, so that was
right.
That was something else.
And I've seen videos and pictures of a picture phone, and when the guy said, "Wait, there's a picture phone here," and here it is, and it was like, "Does it work?" And it was like, "Is that the one from the set?" Yes, it worked. They had it connected. And, it was interesting.
We just need the flying cars now, and we'll be set.
Right, and they had the push-button things where they did not have the pound button, but they had, like, a R button or something, like, that's, I guess it was a special phone
back then?
There were all kinds of different phones. Some of the early touchtone phones just don't have buttons where the star and pound sign are. And that's kind of cool. And then there are the military phones that had the extra row, A, B, C, D. Or they had different names for them.
Not only military, but they were used for other things as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, phone freaks like to use them for various other things as well, yes.
Yeah, but about teletypes, I mean, I don't understand because it says teletype, but is it a teletype when I think of a teletype, a typewriter with, but that when you type on it, it not only prints on the paper that you're typing on, but you dial a number and then it types whatever you type.
You know, all I can tell you is there are a lot of different terms. There's telex, there's TWX, there's TTY, there's teletype. I'm not going to get it right, but I'm sure if you go to Wikipedia and look all those terms up, you'll get a pretty concise explanation.
But I'm saying, how is a computer terminal a teletype?
Well, some of them didn't have displays, I think, early on. I think that's one aspect of it. But as E said, there's many different generations, and they evolved to have different purposes for different situations or to accommodate different input methods depending on what they were connected to or what type of communication was going on.
Yeah, Rebel, if you look at any Unix-based system, like Linux or whatever, and type W for who, you'll see all the users have TTY numbers. And that's, you know, a throwback to the old days when they were TTYs, teletypes. So they're not anymore, obviously, but that name remains.
Okay, I just typed W on my Linux system, and it says at the time, and it says up, and it says one user, and it says load average,
mm-hmm.
it says user, and then my name, and then
right.
TTY, and then nothing,
yes.
From, and then nothing, login at, well, I guess the time I turned on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Then idle, and then JCPU, I don't know what that means, PCPU, and then what?
Do you see an IP number there?
IP number, no, there's no IP.
There's no IP,
number.
Really?
Oh, yeah, there is. It says load average, and then it says 0.35, comma.
Yeah, yeah.
0.45, uh-huh. comma.
Those aren't IP numbers, if that's what you...
No.
Okay.
No, there's no IP, because I'm not on, well... No, it doesn't say an IP number, should it?
I don't know. Maybe. If you type last, you should see everybody who has logged into your system. And there you should see an IP for each.
Yeah.
You see the IP there?
Okay, it says 6.
Okay, don't give out your IP, Rebel, because that could lead to all kinds of unpleasantness. People know your IP. But there's all kinds of, you know, if you type uname-A, U-N-A-M-E space.
It says my name, and this is TTY7.
Okay. I don't know if you heard me, but if you type the command uname, U-N-A-M-E, space-A, you'll get the name of your operating system and other data as well.
Yeah, but I thought that was NeoFetch.
I don't understand what you just said.
NeoFetch? Do you know what NeoFetch does?
That's a command?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you spell it?
NeoFetch.
I don't think I've ever typed that. I don't think I ever have.
Yeah. Is that a new command or something for your OS specific? I don't know.
It's a Linux thing. I'm surprised you don't know it.
Well, there's a lot
so
we
much
don't know.
I don't know. That would surprise you even more, believe me.
Eric, Ubuntu.
It's so funny when we talk about this stuff, and like the whole point of being involved in hacking or being like self-taught with computers is that you don't know anything. You don't. You want to know. You want to talk to people that do.
Well,
you want to share what you know or learn from someone who has.
Everybody knows something, but
exactly.
Nobody knows everything. And you know, even the biggest expert in the world might not understand the phone network.
But,
you know, so
being interested is not a stand-in for knowing everything. And I think that is a misnomer. That's something that actually a lot of hackers end up riding a little bit
mm-hmm.
Too much in you know, getting all kinds of undue adulation when, you know, they really should be just, you know, hey, I've got a little bit of knowledge on this, and you know, I might not know what you know, and that's it. I mean, that kind of thing of like, well, you know, I'm going to be standoffish because everyone assumes I know, you know, all there is about, you know, one operating system or set of commands or certain types of things.
you got to be a little bit more open-minded, because that's how we all learn.
Can't believe you didn't know that, Rebel.
I didn't.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, so NeoFetch is basically uname, if you use uname-a on a Linux system that has that installed, it will give you one little line of text that has some info about your computer. If you use NeoFetch, it's basically a prettier display of a lot of text that says a lot of different things about the computer you're using. And depending on your settings, it'll show up in pretty colors. You'll see the logo of your particular distro of Linux, all kinds of other cool stuff.
Well, that explains why I didn't know it, because I don't like pretty and I don't like lots of data. I just wanted one line of text. All right, go ahead, Alex. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. I just wanted to say I have to go to bed, guys.
You are in bed. You are literally in bed. You have a pillow behind you, and you were asleep only a few minutes ago. So what do you mean you have to go to bed? You're in bed.
I guess I have to go back to bed. You don't have to go anywhere.
You just have to stay where you are. That's all you have to do. You don't even have to say this. You could have just.
But you were sleeping.
Look, are we talking too loud? We can tone it down a little. It's not a problem.
That's very funny. I know. No, as thrilling as this call with Rebel was, I have to go to bed,
guys. It's still going on. The call with Rebel has just begun.
Alex, have a safe journey and get that rest.
Yes.
I will. It's a thrill as always. I wish you guys the best and keep America safe for me. I'll just keep her warm. I'll be back tomorrow.
Is it possible you will be on the ground next Wednesday and not traveling anywhere?
Yeah, I think so. I really hope so.
I should be back next week
and and same time, so that would be very nice.
Try something different. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Come back. We all miss you.
Yeah.
Let's do that. No doubt. I wish you guys a wonderful rest of overtime. I'm going back to bed, and I'll see you next week.
Rebel, don't you want to say goodnight to Alex?
Goodnight, Alex.
Good night, Rebel. That's very, very kind of you.
That was surprisingly easy of me to get him to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, sleep well.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
And Alex is out. All right, Rebel, let's wrap things up with you, too.
Okay.
So we can take another phone call.
Yeah, so now this teletype, it was from the 1980s. I guess this was a successor to the mechanical teletype with paper. So, because I remember seeing videos of it in, like, the late 80s, this particular model. I mean, I just think it was the particular model. So that's why I wish I would have done NeoFetch on that thing, so I would have seen what the...
Well, it may not have supported that command if it's a newer... command at all, or depending on what system it was or what OS that machine was running.
Hey, Rebel, I have a command for you to type. Are you at a prompt?
Hold on. Let me get to the... we're having a very efficient computing experience, aren't we?
Yeah, this is amazing. Wow, I'm just so blown away by this.
Okay, I'm at the terminal. Would you like me to print, ma'am?
Please, all right, don't call me ma'am, all right? Let's get that settled right now. Are you ready to type a command?
Yes, I'm at the prompt.
Okay, just type the word yes and hit return. Y-E-S. Enjoy, Rebel. Enjoy.
Hold on. Control-C.
Folks, don't try this at home unless you have a lot of time.
At least I learned Control-C at the 2600 meeting.
See? We used to have somebody at the 2600 meeting named Control-C, in fact. Yeah, I remember that.
When did Control-C work on the VAX terminal? Wasn't that in college? I don't remember.
All right, Rebel, it was great talking to you, as always. Let's open up the phone lines for someone else, and we will hopefully talk to you next week. Are you back?
Maybe at Hope somebody could bring one of those terminals to Hope.
Yes, that would be. Oh, by the way, Hope is happening this summer. Tickets are on sale. We're getting a lot of enthusiasm from vendors and from people running tables and villages and things like that. Speakers. So it's happening August 15th through 17th of this year. Hope is an annual event now. It's going to be awesome, and it's at St. John's in Queens.
I'm trying to get rid of my computer.
And it's a good place to do that, too. You can get rid of your computer.
Well, no, I'm not going to do it at Hope. I want to get rid of it now, the old computer that I had that's with the tower.
Well, maybe you'll find a new computer at Hope. I don't know. I can't solve all the problems.
I have a new computer. I have a new all-in-one computer.
Then what are you upset about?
because my ultimate, it's 4 years old, and I don't want to. I mean, it has Windows 10. It's 4 years old. It's, I like the desktop with the all-in-one, and, you know, I have a nice keyboard, and it looks, you know, and...
You'll be bringing this computer to the next 2600 meeting, and...
I'm not going to bring my computer. I'm not bringing it.
Well, how do you expect somebody to take it if you don't bring it to people?
I'm not bringing lugging a whole desktop with a tower to a 2600 meeting.
Well, it just sounds like you're being really negative here.
Put it on a skateboard.
I mean, if I had a, you know,
yeah, use your rollerblades and just go down, you know, over the bridge, and yeah, you'll be fine.
If I had a car, I'd, you know, drag it in.
All right. Well, if anybody wants Rebel's computer, should we give out your address so they can just visit you and get it that way?
They could email. Well, how could they get in contact with me? Can I have an address on 2600? Like Rebel at 2600.com.
So nice try.
You know, they can visit eBay. No, they can't visit eBay because I put it on eBay.
Where is eBay? Washington? That's
eBay
a long
does,
trip.
They might have pickup locations. I don't know. I don't know how eBay works, but I think they have like various places where you can drop things or have people. I don't know.
There's this guy named Craig. He has a list of all kinds of things where you could sell and buy and get attacked and all sorts of other things.
Okay. Honestly, it's New York. Just put it on the curb.
You don't need our help for this. This is something
I don't want to throw it away. It's good. It's a good computer. I don't want to throw it away.
All right. Well, I'm glad you reconciled with your computer.
We'll find a good place to
Yeah,
find it.
And, you know, I wish the two of you much success in the future. Thank you for your call. Our phone number remains 802-321-4225. We have time for at least one more call.
I'm impressed. He's really improved his system, and, you know, this is good.
All our listeners came back. That's great.
We all should be evaluating our systems and setting them up the way we want, embracing new operating systems, perhaps ones we have a little bit more control over, and learning stuff that you thought, you know, maybe I could do this, make it a project. And I've said this in the past, you know, you don't wait until you're out of a machine or something breaks. Do it while it's working and then kind of slowly migrate over and then repurpose it, and then you end up at the stage where you find a new home for the old stuff. We have a call.
It is cold outside. I'm just looking at the weather forecast. It's minus 11 Celsius. That's 12 degrees Fahrenheit. So if you're outside, what's wrong with you? Get inside now. It's dangerous out there. It really is. But I love it. I love the cold in the winter. It's awesome. We have another phone call? Okay. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, what's on your mind?
I remember last week someone was talking about police making you unlock your phone with your fingerprint.
Yeah, I think we might have mentioned that. Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't want to use a PIN that they can't make you reveal, you could always try using a different finger from the one they would expect you to use. So they make you use the finger they think you'd be using, and it won't work.
Are you suggesting we use the middle finger?
You could.
Wow. Okay. Daring.
Or a different one.
You know, I'm woefully ignorant on this. Do we have the same fingerprint on all our fingers, or is it different fingerprint for everything?
No, they're each different.
I didn't know that. I mean, honestly, I didn't know that. Wow.
Okay. When I first got my first Mac, and I was at the Apple store, and someone was walking me through the button that you use your finger to activate. And I used a finger that the person who was helping me didn't like. And he was trying to grab my hand and make me use the finger he wanted. And I was offended by that.
Yeah, I think anybody would be offended by having our fingers grabbed.
Yeah. And this was during, you know, COVID. And it, you know, he had his, you know, hands were ungloved and everything. And I was very uncomfortable with that.
I'm sorry, I'm still
so... If I want to use a different finger, I can use a different finger.
I'm still so ignorant about this. Do toes have prints as well? Does anybody know this? Toes have...
Yes, they have. They
Why does
have
nobody use a toe too. Print? I mean, think how easy... If you got booked, right, down at the headquarters, you just have to take your shoe off and walk. You don't have to do anything else. And boom, they got your toe print. It's just worth thinking about.
Really?
No, it's not. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that toes had prints as well. No one ever talks about that.
Yes, they do. And I think our cousins, bonobos and chimpanzees, I think they have this too.
I'm learning a lot tonight.
Other primates, got it.
Hmm.
Someone in the chat said if I really wanted to get into that phone, it wouldn't take long to go through all 10 fingers. But the thing is, they would have to think of it. If they have it locked in their brain, there's just one finger you'd use.
Mm-hmm.
Might not occur to them.
That's true.
What about a nose print?
All right, now I just think we're getting silly here. Rob, did you have something?
Yeah, I was saying, and I think I mentioned this last time when this came up, that the police can force you to unlock your phone with a finger. And I do think it's probably likely that if they try one of your fingers and it doesn't work, they'll try the rest. Even the NYPD, I think, might make that leap of logic.
I don't know. I've been in their custody, and there's a lot they miss.
We had a caller the other week talk about other portions of your hand also that have print.
Palm print?
Yeah, different parts of your palm.
Wow.
That are raised can potentially be used as well. So you could get creative, but best not to get in those situations in the first place, and don't bring your phone everywhere.
And also I hear foreheads have unique prints as well.
Really?
No, I'm just trying to get people to press their phones against their foreheads and look like idiots. But, but I don't know. I don't know whatever unique identifiers.
The chat has a couple people. Their daughter surfed up their unlock pattern, so they needed to use a 13-character password every time to open their phone. Someone else said the DC circuit said recently that forcing a finger unlock was akin to forcing a password, and it's protected testimonial speech under the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah, but if you get somebody's fingerprint, i.e. they handle a glass or something like that, you're able to reproduce it, what's that? It's like writing your code down someplace and then somebody using it. I don't know what the legalities of that are, and Alex is gone, so I can't ask him.
Yeah.
I saw it. A TV show where you had to be warm and have a pulse for your thing to do. But that was a TV show.
That was a TV show, exactly.
And potentially, I mean, if you used like a thin like latex or some kind of form to make that print and then put it over a live finger, maybe then it is trick. I mean, someone has probably exhausted how far you can go making a fake print and using a warm finger or something. I don't know. There's probably ways around it, but in the context of being stopped, you're not going to be as prepared for any of that. So, or they may not have the resources on the street corner as someone who maybe has confiscated it and can play with it for, you know, as long as they want. And at that point, they can employ all kinds of other tools to, you know, everything, you know, like, they could be disassembling it and attempting to bypass some of those restrictions at the level of the circuitry, so to speak. And, well, let's just say, with lots of time and lots of resources, lots of things are possible. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, what if you just smash the case? You know, people are always smashing the front of their phones and they don't work. So just render your phone inoperative.
Well, the screens can be transplanted in some cases. I mean, I know parts are sort of locked in some cases on Apple phones and perhaps other manufacturers, but you could swap things around to basically replace the screen and get right back to a whole phone. So that's not necessarily that great, but you could, like, degauss it or, like, in Mr. Robot, throw it in a microwave. Does that work? Can we microwave our phones? Put it in the air fryer. Put your iPhone in the air fryer.
Do you carry an air fryer with you when you're...
Everywhere I go.
Put it in the air fryer. Hmm. Where have I've heard that somewhere. I have heard that somewhere. Huh. Okay, well, thank you for your call. Any other points? Or we got to move on.
Have a nice evening.
All right, you take care.
Stay warm.
Stay warm, yes. Because it is cold, at least in New York, it's cold. But it seems to be cold all around the country. It snowed in the south. It snowed in New Orleans. What the hell? It snowed in Dallas.
About to snow in Texas again. 802-321-4...
Sorry, I hit the wrong button.
802-321-4... Why are you doing that?
I don't know. I'll hold my hands up. I'm sorry. What Kyle was trying to say was 802-321-4225 is our phone number. But now he's left the room, so I can't pick up the phone because it's all the way on the other side. And the phone's ringing. I did this to myself, didn't I?
You kind of did, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Kyle's left the room. Alex is off dreaming with a British accent.
Dropping like flies here.
I know. See, I did it to myself now. Doing it to my own voice.
Yeah, I don't even know what the technical term for what's happening is right now, but it's loud. You know, Emmanuel, what this reminds me of is the time I followed a float. Like, I had a cart full of soda, and I pushed it into the elevator, and I got stuck behind it. I couldn't reach any of the buttons.
Oh, wow. That's, no, continue describing it. I think we're due for another Gila laughing spell here. And then what? Well,
okay. Well, all this is all happening.
We lost our call. We lost our call, but I still don't have the ability to pick it up from where I am.
Someone called Jinx from the YouTube chat asks, "So what happened with the copyright infringement from last night's show?"
I have no idea what they're talking about. Copyright infringement.
Me either. Yeah. I thought you might, but
no. If you're looking for something on YouTube, Google goes nuts with copyright things that aren't pertinent to radio stations, but they don't understand. Like we were talking about before, a radio show, they don't understand that. They don't understand the podcast, you know, the difference between the two. You can always find it on 2600.com, either / off the hook or off the wall. That's where we keep all our shows.
Sounds good.
I can't ever tell this story. It was 24 years ago. I'm no longer stuck in that elevator, just for the record. But, yeah, I could see the buttons. I just couldn't push the buttons.
And why couldn't you push the buttons?
So I was in a hotel, and I was staffing a convention in a hotel, and I needed to get a bunch of stuff up to a hospitality suite on one of the top floors of the hotel. I needed to take the elevator. So I had, like, a cart, right, like a flat. And it was full of packs of soda, like 24 packs of soda. And I pushed the thing into the elevator.
Are we going to go through this again? We never get through this story.
I'm so sorry.
I love the story so much.
Have you ever heard it, Rob? Have you gotten all the way through it? Because I don't know if we can.
We've been together a long time. I've gotten all the bits of it individually.
So you just have to assemble them now into... You know, cohesive form.
So you're in the elevator with this huge cart full of soda, and the door closes, and you cannot reach the buttons because of the cart full of soda.
I've seen video of people getting trapped. They're wheeling something in to the elevator, and they get trapped far away from the button. And
that is precisely what happened.
You have to wait for somebody to call the elevator to rescue you.
And the problem was, because I was pushing such a large cart, other people in the hotel, like random guests, were trying to use the elevator, but they couldn't.
They couldn't get in, and you couldn't get out. Wow. I see the issue here. Yeah, it's
And then the convention director yelled at me because I hadn't taken the stuff upstairs.
How was the convention director yelling at you when you were trapped in an elevator and no one could
he
find you?
He didn't know I was trapped in an elevator. He was like, "Where have you been? Why didn't you take the soda upstairs?" I was like, "Because I couldn't push the buttons."
Oh, this was afterwards. But how did you get out is the question.
So eventually the elevator came back down to the floor where everybody was working. And they said, "Where have you been? And can we have the cart back?" And I said, "I didn't get up to the suite because I was stuck."
Okay. Wow.
And sorry, you're not being able to reach the phone did put me in mind of that story. My apologies to everyone, because someone did say I sounded choppier than the beginning.
And you were moving up and down the whole time?
And I was trying to contact anybody, but because I was in the elevator, my phone wasn't working.
Wasn't there a phone in the elevator?
No!
Oh, my God.
I guess you couldn't have reached that emergency button.
Also true. Even if there were a phone, I couldn't have gotten to it.
Kyle's back, and I just want to issue an official apology to Kyle for hitting the button. I thought it was funny, but not nearly as funny as Gila's elevator story, which has had her in hysterics almost the entire time that you've been gone, Kyle. So welcome back.
You are profoundly unserious people.
You're saying that like it's new.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
I made a drink, though.
Thank you for that. No, Gila got stuck in an elevator, and she couldn't get out. It was like one of those videos where somebody wheels something in, and they don't realize that they can't reach the buttons, and nobody else can get in the elevator, and yeah.
It's the whole thing.
It's a really killer story, and thank you for the assist, Rob, because...
No, it was inspired by me not being able to reach the phone here. When the phone was ringing, and that's and Gila was laughing like you could
it's
not.
It's a white. It's this button.
I know, but I can't reach it from here.
That sounds like a you problem.
It is a me problem. It's a big me problem. 802-321-4225. Wow, that was something.
I'll teach you how to hotwire it next time.
Okay.
You want this one?
Yeah, let's take this one. Again, my sincere apologies for.
We'll talk later.
We went off the rails here. All right, we have a phone call.
Too much power.
What's in this drink? I think we both need it.
Take a sip. It's good.
Mine's probably poison. 802-321-4225. Wait, why am I giving out the phone numbers? A caller, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, I called the number that you didn't give out, the 833 number.
Oh, why don't you give that number out for other people again? 833-something.
I think it is 833-755-2600.
I think you're right.
I still have a working memory.
Holy
Let
crap,
me turn
this is
off
a strong,
the audio on the computer.
Strong drink, Kyle. A strong drink you made.
Yeah, it's Sobieski, Polish
So first with a lighthearted note, you know, the issue of the foot fingerprints, that's what they use, not exactly the toe print, but, you know, for an infant, for a birth certificate, they use the footprint. So there is something that, you know, food for thought. And also, on the same note, when you mentioned we don't have infinite time, it came to mind the story of the 500 monkeys with unlimited time would come up with the complete works of Shakespeare. Apparently, that's been scientifically tested, and it's not true. 500 monkeys with unlimited time would not come up
Let me just stop you right there. First of all, getting 500 monkeys together on anything is difficult. Getting 500 typewriters is really difficult. And what about the infinite time part? How did they manage that?
Well, I don't know, but somebody must have figured out the algorithm. I read it on the BBC.
Yeah, it's like simulated.
And talking of other medium, I you know, I tend to listen to the 5 minutes of NPR headlines, and I did so while I was waiting for you to come online.
Today?
And it sort of bled into a show that NPR was doing tonight. It was a national call-in about, quote, changes in the civil service. And apparently the Trumpies are already asking people who are prospectively applying to federal jobs who they voted for and what are their opinion on January 6th. So it gets weirder. But if you recall, well, you probably don't, but I called in right after the election and I expressed my despair. And, you know, I'm not despairing anymore because it's obvious that we have to cope with this. But we better get creative soon. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I think we're getting creative right now, and I have no doubt that I have no doubt there's going to be some very interesting methods of resistance. But you know, one thing I can say that I think will help most people: just look at the difference. Look at the people who aren't in power. Look at the people who are in power. Who is angrier? Who seems to be about to burst a blood vessel? You know, these people who are now running the country, they never seem to achieve happiness. It's always something else, always more enemies, always more frustration, always more failure. I see no reason that's going to change. And I intend to enjoy that ride, at least.
Can I?
You know, the bad part is that they tend to thrive on making the rest of us miserable, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's, I think, where your power is. Just remember, I mean, just with, like, money and these other perceived accoutrements of power, your power is what you feel, where you feel that. I mean, it is what you make it. It is what you value. So people controlling your upset or your happiness, I think, because of this flood of things, and that's something I'd said, or I've been hearing a bit about, is pace yourself, because this initial part, this flood of things, is meant to get reactions. Even the Musk thing, I know it is what it is, but there's a lot of stuff that I know from past experience in this with these people running things that I think we've learned that it's not actually worth taking every bit of bait that's put out there, because that's all it is. And the real thing is, I think, pacing yourself and understanding that having a sense of humor and not being upset by things that are designed to upset people, quote, like you, is reclaiming power that they want to deprive you of. Mm-hmm. By making you feel as though they are inevitable, or their actions are just when they aren't, and no one's countering it because the communications methods have been sabotaged or whatnot. So that is something to remind yourself. And I think that it will take time for people to realize how to kind of navigate this kind of thing en masse, but it is by being by not letting it get to you as much, and I think finding out how we can organize, it'll emerge. But people are still, this is meant to shock people. A lot of the actions, a lot of the executive orders that were done yesterday or the day before, and all of that is designed to get a reaction. I don't think reacting is good. I think let it play out so that they get more upset, because they're, as E said, not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Until they get pushback. And that's exactly the kind of stuff, like people out in the streets, that's the kind of stuff where you get draconian reactions, because if you give them a reason to do these clampdowns and, you know, get, you know, tear gas and beanbags and rubber bullets and stuff, like, then you have a lot of injuries, and they can recast it as, you know, all these terrible people that are reacting. So don't react. I mean, be water.
I agree with most of that, but I do think there are some things that we absolutely cannot ignore when people are being victimized, when, you know, it's immigrants or the trans community or anyone that is being targeted right now. We you know, absolutely in court or in the streets, we will react to that. We will defend our fellow citizens. I think they know that. And I think, you know, they need to realize the gravity of some of the crap they're trying to pull. But, yes, Kyle's right as far as, you know, keeping our sense of who we are, not letting it throw us off what we believe in, remaining happy, because they hate that. They really do. And I think through all of that, we'll find strength.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally on board with that, and I am not miserable. I am not, you know, you could hear me laughing at my earlier interjection. I am having the time of my life, you know, just looking at this going on. But at the same time, there are objective consequences, you know, not just for the people in federal service, but to tell you something stupid, I have one of the old green cards that never expired. And I've been a legal immigrant in this country for 40-something years. And now I'm considering, you know, what will happen if I come back? I want to go to somewhere hot, you know, in the tropics. This weather is really not to my liking. And tickets are incredibly cheap, you know, to go to Brazil right now is like less than $200 one way. And I am thinking, should I take that chance? And come back and being told, oh, this is an old green card and you need a new one or some crap like that, which aside from being, you know, incredibly, how can I say, inconvenient, to be euphemistic, you know, if I had to do that, there is also a serious financial consequence, because now the green cards that were made after 1986, there was a special court settlement. Emmanuel may remember this because I know he's up on the news, and he was sanctioned back then. We are the same age. And, you know, basically they had a huge case with the American Civil Liberty Unions and other libertarian associations. And it wasn't the IC, it was called the INS, as it was then known, settled and said, okay, these green cards up to 1986, they will never expire. Now, if you get a new green card, every 10 years you have to give $1,500 to Uncle Sam just for the privilege of continuing to reside here if you didn't become an American citizen, which I don't particularly, especially at this time, clamor to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, while I am trying to keep a cheery outlook and use my brain as much as possible, and by the way, Manuel, like you, I continue to use all kinds of operating system. I was just, you might get a kick out of this, I was playing pinball on Windows XP, which I think is the best that Microsoft ever came up with in terms of operating systems. You know, at the same time, I'm also considering the implications, both large and small, on daily lives of everybody.
There are actual practical consequences, and you're absolutely right. And I do speak from relative privilege as someone who is not worrying about green cards and 15, you know, whatever the cost is for that, or these sort of fast changing goal lines of like, okay, it's this, now it's that, now mm-hmm. it's this. Believe me, I'm not here communicating and advocating the way I am because everything I'm talking about actually affects me. Yeah, it's a big secret, but really not. I'll be fine, ostensibly, for a lot of reasons that aren't really in my control, but they're systemic. They are the structure of our society. But I talk about it because I know other people are affected, and I want to live in a world where the people that are affected by those things don't have to have as bad a time, because that affects me. Yeah, that's selfish.
I know. But I would like everyone to be okay so that when I'm out there, I'm not dealing with such aggrieved people that are suffering. And we're all suffering in different ways. And believe me, I have my own vulnerabilities and things that affect me personally and will in this term. We're all going to find things that really get to us, but we have to communicate about it. We have to find our strength and tell our stories and try to advocate for one another and solve these things piece by piece. Because you're absolutely right. There are practical consequences.
Now, to your credit, Kyle, you don't care about people just because it makes you feel bad when they're hurting. You do genuinely care about people.
Well, let's just say people that are high EQ are just as capable of psychopathy, but you're choosing not to be crazy. You must be in empathy, be understanding. And I am very empathetic, but I'm just admitting that there is a sliver of selfishness because I benefit from a society where people aren't drowning in all of these consequences.
Well, we all do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the greater good. It's however you want to characterize it.
Let me just ask the caller, regarding this permanent green card, I just did a little looking up of things here. Do you happen to know the number that's on your card? Does it say I-151 or I-551? Do you know that?
I don't know it offhand, but you mean the name of the form, in other words, because actual number to an A, which means alien. I am officially an alien.
According to a site I'm looking at, if you're holding a card that says I-151 or form I-151 in small print, you have an invalid card. But in 1977, the I-151 was discontinued. They replaced it with the I-551. And form I-151 and form I-551 are simply the government's internal name for green cards. And so you need the 551. So if you don't have that, there's definitely an issue.
But, those are the ones up to 1985 or 86 were issued, and it's permanent resident, and those never expire. I mean, that the definition is still the same. You are a permanent resident, but every 10 years you have to get a new one. Essentially, give $1,500 to the government, it will send you a new one. This is for ones that were issued after 1985 or 86, whenever the settlement was done. And, speaking to what Kyle said, yes, empathy is great. And by the way, in my view, is a sign of high intelligence, meaning the IQ tests don't test for empathy. But I don't think that having $1 billion or several hundred billions will make up for having a functioning society where people are not suspicious of everybody, are not ready to rob you when they see that you have real money. How much is that worth?
Yeah, what I go to when I think about this is, does having a lot of money make you smart? If you can answer that, depending on how you answer that, it tells me a lot about you.
I think it makes people believe you're smart. I don't think it makes you smart at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. It makes you maybe, feel like you're lucky or something.
Let me reframe it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of really stupid people with money.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I know.
And also, to make money is really not that hard, especially today. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if you don't have money, you're stupid.
Okay.
But I mean, if you're stupid, you still can make a lot of money, which, a lot of people are doing today. And that, to me, is not a sign of high achievement. You need as much as you need to keep your brain working and to do the things that make you happy. That to me, is the highest value.
And then,
how much money do I have?
So,
and I don't look up to people who have made a lot of money by whatever means.
Exactly. So step outside of economics, though. Let's step outside of that. And then, so what is power? Because people with money are equating it with power, and that inherently is an individual concept. Like, what do you think of as power? A lot of leftists might say it's people, it's collective action, right? That's power, right? So our concepts of power differ. And people who think that money is the ultimate power.
What I just say, that is, I don't need a lot of money and I don't need a lot of power. The only power I need is the illusion that I have some power over my own destiny, and within certain measures, I can do what I want, things that make me happy, and possibly give back to the community, make other people feel happy. And that, to me, is my power that I'm interested in. I'm not interested in having absolute power over anybody. And as Emmanuel implied, that's a lot of work, you know, to make for these people who are constantly angry because they want to control things. That's not the way I want to live. And I don't think the people I want to talk to either see money as a big achievement or power as a big achievement. I mean, there are a lot of people that if you have a lot of money will look up to you. That's why Trump got, so to say, elected. And that, to me, is not a value. When I arrived in this country almost a half a century ago, I looked at this guy who was building this horrible so-called tower on 56th Fifth. And I said, this is not somebody, why is he in the papers? Why are people looking up to this guy? He's scum. And I still think he is, you know, in my view. And if there was a judiciary that is working, this guy's the only criminal who appointed the judges who are judging him. Mm-hmm. And he's a traitor, and he should be punished as a traitor. I don't care what he says about the January 6th people. They should still be behind bars. One that was graced or pardoned or whatever said, do not pardon me because what I did is wrong.
And yeah, one person said that. That one person said that. Yeah. I was very impressed, actually.
Exactly, exactly. And, of course, you know, on the trolls, the people call social media, anti-social media in my view, are already calling her, you know, a VI plant or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, you can try to change history, and history is written by the winners, they say. Well, who is a winner? Only time can tell, in my view.
And we have plenty of time. We have plenty of time, and we're going to we're going to be okay as long as we don't give up on each other. Thank you so much for that call. That's going to have to be the last word for tonight. As you can see, we are not shy about discussing these things, and we have so much to talk about.
Yeah, my phrase about emotional quotient is, and it's a way I think about it, is that people with high EQ are just as capable of psychopathy as those without.
And that will be the last word. All right. So, final words, guys, out in Skypland?
Just thanks for everyone for bearing with us, both on the big national stage and also in the YouTube feed today.
Yes, and it might be kind of late for people who have listened to the whole thing on YouTube, but there's a much better copy that will be on 2600.com in the Off the Hook section. So listen to Overtime there. That's what you should always do because we make sure it sounds as good as possible there. We will be back next week, 7 p.m. on WBAI, 8 p.m. on Overtime. And, new issue of 2600 is officially hitting the stands tomorrow. Some people have already gotten it. That cover. Boy, that cover is really going to, don't give it away. Don't give anything away.
Yeah, I won't, but, there has been such a response, we've seen on Mastodon, about this. And, yeah, there is much love for this cover.
Well, that's not going to last because when the right people see it, the love is going to vanish pretty quickly, but I won't say any more. But you will be able to get a shirt of it as well. So that'll be up on our store tomorrow, the winter issue of 2600. And also, right now, tickets to Hope, taking place in August, they are on sale as well. Please, if you're able to come, please buy a ticket now so that we can invest in more things for the conference. If you can't make it but you want to support the conference, we have virtual tickets as well. Please look on our store.2600.com site for all that. All right, that's going to do it for us here tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Write to us, oth@2600.com. We will see you next week. Good night.